We're reading this afternoon from the book of Esther with a magnifying glass. Just taking a scripture out here that pretty well tells what the book of Esther is all about. It's from the third chapter and beginning at the eighth verse. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of the kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws, therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. This was Haman talking. And Haman was talking about a group of people that were God's people. He was talking about a group of people that it didn't make any difference what the times they were living in were. Made very little difference to these people of what religions others around them had taken unto themselves. It made no difference at all to them that the popular mode of the day was to worship idols. For they had one God, and in Him would they put their trust and their faith. Though they were subject to every law of that government, and yet upon these people was heaped every persecution that could possibly be imagined. They were accused of everything in the world. But out of all these accusations, they stood firm, unshakable and unmovable unto the living God. Mordecai, an elderly Jew, his brother and his wife had died, and they had left a daughter. And this man, being a man of God, had taken this child to raise her. And he brought her up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And he loved this girl as if she were his own child. The girl was very beautiful. And in the palace of the king, she had found favor in the eyes of the king. But Haman had decreed that he would pay 10,000 talents unto any and all persons that would become involved in a persecution and a harassment for the destruction of these people of God. He said they've strung themselves out all through the community. And this gospel they preach is an allegiance unto God, not unto the king. They refuse to bow down to the idols that we worship. But they proclaim openly throughout the provinces that their faith is in a living God. We can't allow these people to continue. For these people, for some reason, are blessed if they become people that make ornaments out of silver, it seems that theirs are a little better than anyone else. Whatever type of business they seem to go into, it prospers. And if the people, the idol worshippers, and the politicians, and the ungodly is to prosper, then these people must be done away with. every move that they make to be reported to the king. And I want to make sure that this harassment is continuously wrought against these people, regardless of what they do. And I am willing to pay for it. This old Jew, Mordecai, had spent a lot of years in the service of God. He had been kidnapped years before and carried away into this strange land. But he had never bent his knees unto an idol. And in all those years he had looked up and he had cried out unto the living God to deliver him and the people of God from the hands of Satan. Well, now the average person that would have stood and looked at this situation would have said, this man is foolish. He better stop defying these idol worshipers. He better play it a little smoother than what he is, because they're going to destroy them. They keep calling upon their God, and Mordecai keeps proclaiming that God is going to deliver his people, and that God has put a stop to this persecution. I don't see it anywhere. It's getting worse all the time. But Mordecai went down and he laid in the gates before the king's palace. He put on sackcloth and he covered himself in ashes and he cried out unto God, my Lord and my God, bring deliverance unto thy people. And as Haman marched through the gates of the great temple, the great palace every day, and he looked at that Jew laying over there in sackcloth and ashes, his hatred grew, and it grew, and it grew from one day to the next. I'll destroy him and every one of them if it's the last thing that I ever do in my life. I'll destroy them. And we wonder sometimes about the ways of God, but we know that he's never late or he's never early. His timing is always perfect. He's right on time. Amen. But Haman said, I want you to go, and I want you to put up a scaffold, because I'm going to see to it that this man is hanged to that scaffold. Mordecai never even paid any attention to him. He marched his arrogant self through the gates of the palace, and Mordecai wasn't going to salute him. He didn't have anything to say to him. He turned his back to him. And he called out unto God. We say, now, isn't it a strange thing that here is this Jewish girl, and that in some way she is inside this palace? And yet, there has been a decree sent out to slaughter all the Jews throughout this whole country. And yet, there she is. And when Queen Esther, in her defiance, refused to do as the king had bid her to do, phenomenal, supernatural, in some way, this little orphan girl had found favor in the eyes of God, and she became the queen. She took the queen's place. But Mordecai said, if you believe for one minute that you're going to hide yourself inside that castle and not align yourself with the rest of us and fight and take a stand. You're going to be slaughtered. You turn your back upon the people of God and try to place yourself in a position of superiority, and you'll die. You're going to be slaughtered for it. God has put you in a position. God has put you there. Every mercy you have obtained is through the Almighty God. And don't you ever forget that. Always remember it. And God has put you there to take a stand for the people of God. You'll never hide behind those palace walls and become just one of the others. That isn't your purpose in life. And Mordecai went back to the gates, to his sackcloth and ashes. And Haman contrived every deceitful thing that was possible. He stirred up the people against him. He made the people to believe they were bad. They were dangerous. They were treacherous. And that something had to be done about them. But the moral to this Bible, I hate to use the word story, truth, is that he made her to know there was no other way that she could exist. Or if she did not take a stand and she fell into it, that she would be destroyed also. You know, people were ashamed of Jesus. They were ashamed to be associated with him. Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, knew that Jesus was the Messiah. But he was ashamed to be seen with him in the daytime. And he followed him by night. And he knew that this man called Christ was the only answer to eternity. And he knew that he alone held the words of eternal life. And on one of these nightly excursions, when the convicting power of the Holy Spirit was down upon him so strong, he cried out unto Jesus, "Rabbi, Master, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus explained the supernatural power of a born-again experience of salvation in Jesus Christ. He understood that. He understood it. Because Jesus broke it down until a little child could have understood it. Nicodemus, in trying to become controversial, to stall off the inevitables of eternity, how could I be born again, as old as I am? Could I enter again into my mother's womb and be born again? No, Nicodemus. That isn't what I'm saying. You know it isn't what I'm saying. And I'm going to explain it to you like this. You see the trees yonder and the shadows of darkness? How often, Nicodemus, have you seen the winds as they blew through the trees? You never really saw the wind, but you saw the movement of the leaves as the wind moved through. Nicodemus, that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. It's subtle. You can't see it with the natural human eye. But oh, I'm going to tell you something, people. When it gets into the soul of a human being, there's a movement. Isn't that right? There's a rustle. Like the movement of the leaves in the trees. Mordecai said, don't try to be ashamed of your people. Don't you try to maneuver yourself around this thing. You stand up boldly and you declare. For there shall be others after you that's going to try that. It's never been before and it'll never be again. For God will not allow you to do it. You take a stand. You say that you're one of us. You tell them that. You say, you see, King, I too am a Jew. But I am in your castle. And I'm asking for mercy for my people. For you see, my people are not doing any of the things that they have been accused of. For this man who is your right-hand man for political reasons is trying to destroy us. And he stirred up thousands of these people against us. But it isn't true. None of these things are true. For you see, King, it won't do any good to bow down to molten idols. For really, there is one true and living God. I know this. I know it to be a truth. Be an evangelist for Jesus Christ. We may not all be called to preach the gospel. We may not all be called or given a healing ministry. But the one thing that every child of God is called to is evangelism. You're an evangelist for Jesus Christ. And the stand you take before God is not only going to mean the salvation of that person that you're talking to, but your own salvation. Our own salvation hinges upon the stand we take for God. In closing this afternoon, I want to say to you, as I said at the beginning of this service, God many times allows these things to happen. He allowed it to happen to the Israelites. Could he not have taken Pharaoh's life way back there? But it showed the power of the living God. He let them go right down to the Red Sea. Then did he smite them? One parable after the other, down through the scriptures. That when he said it was enough, it was enough. There was no more. The scaffold that this hater of God had spent so much time and so much money in erecting. And he joyously sat and he looked upon it, waiting for the day that he saw Mordecai hanging there. But that isn't what happened. Haman was hanged to the scaffold that he built for Mordecai, the man of God. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I change not. I am the same. I change not. Don't fall into the foolishness of the ungodly, of the unsaved, when they're fighting the people of God. Take a stand. Because the words you speak very possibly will be the means of that person's soul that you're talking to. We're a people that cannot be afraid. The Lord says, don't fear him that can take only your life. He said, fear him that can take both life and soul. In closing this afternoon, there is none of us or in this ungodly world that we are living in when one evangelistic group, one church is destroyed, they'll go after another until they have all been swept away. Where there is nothing but modernism at the head of all religious orders to preach atheism, that Jesus was just a good man. That's what's happening. That's what it's all about. And they're going to go after one church after the other until they destroy them. But Jesus is coming. He's going to come and redeem us out of all this. For he promised, he said he would. He told us that all these things would be, that there'd be a one world church, one world government. I said with this gold thing for the last month, all it amounts to is that they're collecting the last bit of silverware even the housewives have in the United States of America. Even collecting that because they had control of the gold and silver years ago. Our nation is in trouble, serious trouble. The same liberals that stood back and hollered no war and killers, and now they're urging Carter into a fight with Russia. Where are we? We have no army. We have no navy. You know what we have? God. And our trust and our faith is in him. And he is going to spare us, for his word says so. If everyone will stand together, and I want to open the altar, and if there's one person here, one person that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you something. In this world today, I would not walk outside that door if I didn't know Christ as my personal Savior. I wouldn't. I would not. There's room at the cross for you.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so praise sufficient.
Yes, Lord.
And deep is the fountain.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
As wide as
yes,
the
Savior.
Sea. There's room at the cross. For
hallelujah,
you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
There's room at the cross. For you, though millions have come,
thank you, Jesus.
There's still room for one.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, there's room.
Yes, there's room at the cross.
At the cross, for you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they
hallelujah,
have
hallelujah.
Been. The Savior still waits to open
praise the Lord
and welcome a sinner before
it's too late.
Too late. There's room.
There's room at the cross.
At the cross
for you.
For you. There's room at the cross for you. though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for.
The Lord, instead of closing with a prayer this afternoon, let's close praising the Lord. Let's sing hallelujah and the choir come down and everybody greet one another. Now, you know, I'm so glad to see you this afternoon. I'm so thankful to the Lord that you are here. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Turn around also to someone standing beside you and shake hands.
He is coming.
Tell them you're thankful to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.